Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast contains adult themes, sexual content, and strong language. Basically, all the good stuff. Hello, guys, and welcome back to My Dad Wrote a Porno. We're on chapter 9. I've got Alice Levine. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
How are you?
A little bit giddy.
She is, isn't she? She's had a little bit of bread. James, how are you?
That Pret a Manger sandwich has gone straight to her head, hasn't it?
That was the saddest dinner I've ever had.
What was it?
An egg sandwich.
So sad. Well, so you're at James' house, so.
Yeah.
However sad it was to eat it, it was much sadder to watch it.
James, how are you?
I'm good. I want to get straight back down to business. The rimming that we ended on last episode. Do you remember the rimming?
Bloody hell.
I don't think it was specifically rimming that was mentioned. It was that he had a hairy bottom.
No, she was licking his hairy bottom. She was rimming him. Your dad's introduced rimming into this book.
She was licking the cheek.
Across the crack or just one cheek?
I don't know. I don't try and think about it that carefully. My dad wrote it.
Are they crossing the line of longitude or are they staying on one side?
I don't want to know.
Where are they in relation to the Tropic of Capricorn?
I think they're in East Berlin. I don't want to talk about it. Alice, how's your week been?
Where do you think he found out about rimming?
Yeah, I was thinking that. And when he imagines it, is he imagining it as it actually is?
Do you think he's imagining it like Jamie's imagining it or like it should be imagined?
I'm not imagining it.
So are you imagining it, James, as going entirely around the circumference of
the anus?
Oh my God.
And you go
round and round.
Round and round.
And down.
Clockwise or counter?
I imagine some kind of variation will spice things up and keep it interesting, if you know what I mean.
So do you think your dad likes it or he just was intrigued by it?
Right, for the benefit of the listeners.
Of the tape.
Whenever Alice does these really annoying questions, she goes completely dead behind the eyes. It's quite an extraordinary thing to look at. She just looks at me as if all life has flown from her soul.
It's like an investigation, isn't it? She shines a light in your eyes.
It's horrible.
And you do a great little diversion tactic. So what are you imagining that he's experienced it maybe in his youth on his travels and he had a lovely time and he's bringing that back?
So what do we think this week's chapter's called?
Wow, he's impenetrable. Unlike
Rocky's
Flintstone.
No.
You can't say Rocky's
anus. No, stop it, Alice.
Jamie, what? She's had two fizzy waters. She's off her tits.
I think we're all old enough to talk about anal play.
Okay, so what does Ken enjoy, do you think, on a night time?
I don't know. Maybe Rocky could enlighten
Tongue
him.
All the way in, or...
Well, not...
Oh, she's recoiling.
Not nice, is it?
What's funny is we thought that Rocky was a tit man. He's not, he's a tush man.
So, what do we think this chapter is called?
I think it'll be called Around the Anus in 80 Days. I mean, we joke, but I am relieved. I'm glad we'd kind of touched upon that, so to speak, and we can move on now and think about something else.
Right. Me too.
Are you in a bad mood?
No, I'm fine. I just would rather start reading my dad's porn, which says a lot about the mood I'm in.
About where your life's got to.
I think it's called Gran Canaria.
Oh my God, very close.
Oh, no, joking. Oh.
I mean, we've got literally nothing to base it on, so it could be any. I mean, the last one was Cricklewood Pumping Station. So
Athlete's Foot? I don't know.
Chapter 9 is called Boy, She Can.
It's the best of them all.
Good God, he's good, isn't he?
He's bloody good.
So, Belinda Blinked 4. Chapter 9. Boy, She Can.
Oh, God.
A bit more.
What's happening? Is this still rimming?
They've picked up quite the pace.
That's it.
How are we spelling the noises you're making?
C-H-U-U-U-U-U-U-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R-R.
I would say that's more of a chur.
The last one is just S-H-U-R-R. That's it. Belinda adjusted her webcam slightly.
Oh, like a camera moving, like a CCTV camera.
Maybe.
Maybe. Right.
Belinda adjusted her webcam slightly so she could see herself fully on the screen. She nodded, admiring her glorious full bush.
Oh.
What's going on?
Where's it focused on?
Is she a cam girl?
Also, who has a webcam that fully integrated into the laptops these days?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you don't plug one in on a USB.
So, she nodded, admiring her glorious full bush.
I really didn't think she had a full bush. No. I thought she had a kind of landing strip situation.
If that.
She had decided to grow it out as a fashion accessory.
Oh, there you go.
To her Parisian business trip.
To her Parisian... Sure, I mean, don't dwell.
Parisian? I don't think this has been booked in the diary before. I think this is a new trip we haven't had any information about.
No.
Oh.
Spooner.
Yes.
Saw in her diary that she was going to Paris, but it wasn't suspicious.
When Giselle caught him?
Yes.
Right.
And sorry, is the implication that French women favour a bigger bush?
I think that's what he's getting at here.
Right.
I'm not sure how scientific that is, but that's what he
And
imagines.
She's managed to fully grow that out in what, a matter of days? Yeah.
Backcomb, you name it. Ready to go.
There is a bit of product in there, but otherwise it's all hers.
Bit of mousse. She was, with clippers in hand, well blissful.
She's clippering it.
Oh, so that
on camera
was the clipper.
She's not got a mirror.
How full bushed is she that she's using clippers?
Proper strimmers as well.
She put like a Nike tick in it.
But then her office was invaded with people.
Don't do it in the office.
Oh, brother.
Her brother's there. Gross.
Oh, brother. Belinda had forgotten all about the bi-daily strategy meeting with her RSMs.
Bi-daily? Is that twice a day?
Or is that every other day?
Is that bi-daily?
Biannual is twice a year.
So bi-daily is
so it's twice a day.
How could you possibly forget twice a day every day?
That's relentless. You'd never have time to implement anything that you discussed in the meeting.
No, you'd never have time to trim your bush on a webcam.
Oh, she finds that time all right.
Oh, okay, good.
Come in, lads.
No, sorry. In the middle of something. Hi, can you come back in 5?
Private time. Ladies' problems. Bye.
Come in, lads, she said, brushing some pubes off her desk and pulling up her pants.
Oh, God.
That is honking. That is horrible.
That's disgusting.
It's not very professional.
It's not very professional. I mean, but that died a long time ago.
So, sorry, she was using the webcam as a mirror.
Unless someone was on the other end of it, yeah. I don't know.
Who? Like Vidal Sassoon. Beautiful.
Nicky Clark.
Well, it's very Nicky Clark to grow it out. He's got a beautiful head of hair. For international listeners, he's an age-old hairdresser that I don't even know if still operates.
He kind of had the Rachel from Friends look, didn't he?
He did, didn't he, before Rachel from Friends. Mm.
She did so beloved addressing the troops. She saw herself as one of the greatest bosses in British kitchenware.
She's really narrowed it down, hasn't she?
And never forgot her white-collar motto. Life was great when you got what you wanted and helped others to do the same.
That's an amalgam of other ones.
It's a bit flabby as well, isn't it? She's definitely said the life is great one before.
Yeah. What was it again?
Life was great when you got what you wanted and helped others to do the same.
There's a nice sentiment in there.
It's an advancement of when you get what you want, you feel great.
Yeah, it's motto 2.0, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more philanthropic than the first time.
Patrick O'Hamlin, Regional Sales Manager for Scotland and Ireland, speak.
It's an unusual style of meeting.
Patrick O'Hamlin rose to his cockles nervously.
What are cockles?
Selling cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh.
What's happening?
That's Miss Molly Malone.
Oh, that's one of your dad's faves.
Yes. Do you not remember when we did that trip to Ukraine and I sang it in front of all those dignitaries?
Yes, we were on an official delegation to the Ukraine and they asked for a traditional Irish song.
Well, they asked for a traditional song of our homeland, and seeing as Irish is my homeland, I sang
Cockles and Mussels.
Molly Malone.
But why do you know the words, James?
It's a very famous song. Do you not know the words?
No. Alive, alive, oh.
Alive, alive, oh. Alice. She died of a fever, and no one could save her.
And that was the end.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
I thought it was the song of Homeland.
And that was the end of Sweet Molly Malone.
That's very sad.
It's very sad.
I quite liked it because it was about cockles and mussels, but it's not really about Von Gole, is it? It's actually quite a sad tale.
Patrick O'Hamlin rose to his cockles nervously. We have a slight issue with Mullet Supermarkets, boss.
Who?
Mullet Supermarkets. But they're one of our biggest regionals.
Are they? What, mullets? Are they?
Like the Manchester Evening News. Huge regional. What have you done, you stupid goon?
Goon?
Nothing.
Nothing? How are you writing nothing?
N-O-T-H-I-N apostrophe.
Nothing.
Also, I love it. She thought she was the best boss in kitchenware. What have you done, you stupid goon? While she's shaving her pubes at the desk.
Best boss ever!
They love her informal style.
CBI, Businesswoman of the Year, Belinda Blumenthal. What have you done, you stupid goon? Nothing. Don't you sell me a dog, Patrick O'Hamlin. I demand to know the truth. Well, their account is 30 days standard terms. They want 60 days standard terms.
Oh, my God, it's so boring. Uh-oh.
To put us into prime spot. It would be worth it, but credit control, a.k.a. Trevor fucking Ditherhead.
Sorry, is his actual name Trevor Ditherhead, or is he called Trevor and he dithers?
Trevor F. Ditherhead.
Do we think that's his name?
I think that might be what Patrick O'Hamlin calls him.
No, that's such a rocky name, though. I wouldn't be surprised if he's true, called Ditherhead.
It would be worth it, but credit control, a.k.a. Trevor fucking Ditherhead, has knocked them on the nose. Not once, but twice.
Right. What? So what's happened? They want a 60-day term.
Yeah, but HR have said no.
For a more prominent position in the supermarket.
Why that would have any effect on your prominence in the supermarket, I don't know. But ultimately, why do we give a fuck?
Because this is the business of pots and pans.
I don't give a shit. I feel like I'm screaming into a void. Like, I don't give a shit. Why do we keep hearing about it?
And yet you keep returning every week.
For 4 long years.
I was a young woman when this began.
But credit control, a.k.a. Trevor fucking Ditherhead, has knocked them on the nose. Not once, but twice. And I presume the opposition are prepared to do this to take the business.
I don't understand.
Patrick sighed. Yes. And what's worse, it's those Germans at Besh.
Oh.
Hairs all over Belinda's body jumped up at once.
And did the ones on the floor and the desk, did they jump up?
Hair flying around her like in Matilda.
In a whirlwind. I'm imagining them on the desk. Sort of just suddenly swirling and then writing like, no, and then run.
Bitch.
Yeah, exactly. 60 days.
Leave it with me. She spoke.
She spoke. She noised.
Ken Dewsbury, regional sales manager for Central and North England. Speak.
Are we going to go through all of them? Twice a day.
Twice a day? She's so rude.
It's like they're in the army.
Yeah, it is a bit, isn't it?
Put some clothes on for a start.
Has she pulled her pants up? Yeah.
She's pulled her pants. Oh, yeah, sorry. Silly me.
I'm a bit buggered, boss. I mislaid a shipment of couscous evaporators.
I'm sorry, of what? Couscous evaporators.
Couscous evaporators.
How do you mislay couscous evaporators? You'd spot them a mile off, surely.
I wouldn't, because what the flippity fuck is a couscous evaporator?
You just use a bowl and a teacloth.
I do, yeah, do you?
Always.
Or a plate.
I'm a bit buggered, boss. I mislaid a shipment of couscous evaporators, so I'm down 643%.
This is a comedy troupe of
honestly,
just absolute...
Like, I can't work with you. This is really self-defeating, Des, if you're just going to lose stock.
Yeah.
At least give it away at a large event.
And you were last month's top seller, eh? A lesson there for everyone, courtesy of Ken fucking Dewsbury.
Oh, wow. She's really got to be in a bonnet, hasn't she?
One day you're cock of the walk, the next a feather duster.
That's a lovely analogy, isn't it?
That's a better quote.
That's good. That's really good.
One day you're cock of the walk, the next a feather duster.
Des Martin, regional sales manager for London and the Home Counties. Speak.
I've got into the rhythm of this now.
Southeastern London sales figures are up by 217%, boss.
Hello. Hello.
Is this since this morning or since yesterday? What's this? What's the period of time?
Yeah, I've no idea.
That's like the stock market in there, isn't it?
Yeah, honestly. Because 200%, that's pretty fucking good, unless they're talking about like in the last 6 hours or whatever.
And Ken's lost 643. That's basically like Japan going off a cliff.
I would say shut down his region, yeah.
Yeah, the FTSE has fallen considerably. Yeah,
because Yorkshire is one of the largest markets for couscous evaporators.
They hate an undercooked couscous.
South East and London sales are up by 217%, boss. Oh, that is a happy cabbage.
Why has she turned into a pantomime dame overnight?
A happy what? Cabbage?
A happy cabbage.
Which ironically, you can actually cook in a couscous evaporator.
I think that's a saying, isn't it? That's like a saying, a happy cabbage. I've heard that before.
That is a happy cabbage. I wouldn't hear that in a business meeting.
That's a happy cabbage, Des. You get 5 minutes.
Of what? Oh God. What? Like of tonguing her or of like jabbing something in her or of like having her
shaving
sit on his
her
face
or something.
Yes, sir, boss.
Yes, sir, boss.
Yes, sir, boss.
So she rewards the troops with increments of 5 minutes of sexy time.
Well, we don't know what the 5 minutes are, but I would imagine yes.
What do you get as punishment? Like if you're 630,
no,
you
an
get spared
scheme.
Of her body, maybe. I don't know.
Spared of her body. I'd deliberately stop.
Well, what do you
think's
happened with those 650% worth of couscous evaporators? He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, Ken's like, not today, Belinda.
Yes, sir, boss. Des Martin punched the air. Belinda unbuttoned her blouse and pulled out one of her boobies.
Oh, wow. Well, that took James by surprise.
Sorry, I'm allergic to boobies.
That's so horrible, though. That sounds like she's going to breastfeed, pulled one out.
Des pranced up onto her lap.
Oh, no.
And started to suck. Slurp. And nibble at her nipple like the pro he was.
So the 5 minutes happens during the meeting.
They're busy people, James.
Now,
why does it sound so infantile? Why is it like? Why is it
bitty?
Why is it jump? Why is it jumped up on a lap? Like no, but why is that the action? I mean,
oh right, yeah, I know it's horrible. Pranced.
Say that whole thing again.
Des pranced up onto her lap and started to suck, slurp, and nibble her nipple like the pro he was.
He sounds like an overly confident, precocious toddler pranced up and got on a lap. And she's, was it popped her boobie out? And boobie even.
Pulled out a
boobie.
Boobie.
It's 5 minutes of breastfeeding, isn't it?
God. Oh, I can't. It's twice a day.
Now, any more business? Belinda continued.
Stop doing the action of you're her doing, holding
you're doing,
Des to her teeth.
You're doing a breastfeeding action. You're doing a nursing action.
I don't
action.
Know why I did that.
Suddenly the rimming seems way more appealing.
Now, any more business? Belinda continued.
Well, some business would be great.
I'm just confirming the exact timing of your five-car hypermarkets meeting today.
Snoozefest.com,
said Jim Thompson.
Yeah, that screams of Jim Thompson.
Mr. Fixer.
The Mr. Fixer of the organisation.
Fab dabby doozy, smiled Belinda. Busy, busy, busy.
She's doing jack all.
She's breastfeeding an adult. You're not that busy.
Best boss in kitchenware.
Am I right?
When I'm not breastfeeding Des, I'm shaving my pubes. I am swamped.
The Paris taxi struggled through the evening traffic.
Forgot they're in Paris. So what office were they in there then?
No, that was at Steele. No, I think we just got
there's
in.
Been a dramatic fast forward.
Sorry.
Yeah. The Paris taxi struggled through the evening traffic. Tonight was her opportunity to bring on board one of the biggest retailers the world knew. Penelope Pollet was no slouch. And Belinda knew all too well that new contacts were the blood of life for any sales girl.
The blood of life.
The blood of life.
Was this written in French and then translated back?
By Google Translate.
So Penelope Pollet, she met with the Duchess and her daughter
house.
Did, well, nearby. Her daughter was in a show jumping competition.
Yes, exactly.
And got like A for effort, but came last or something.
Yes.
Oh, Pollet wasn't at the dinner originally.
No, they met her at the show jumping trials.
But what was her significance?
She runs five car.
A five car. Five car.
Instead of car four. Mm. Which is the actual one.
He's not getting sued.
He's fine. Belinda was ready to trade. A simple long black dress with matching heels, purse and a sparkling necklace was all she needed.
Ooh, classy for once. For her, yeah, it's not see-through or anything.
And it's not exclusively jewellery. There's some clothing in there.
She made her way through the opulent bar, ordered a cocktail, and waited for Penelope to arrive. A sudden lull in the bar conversation of ooh la las.
And hey-ho, hey-ho, hey-ho.
Ooh la la.
A sudden lull in the bar conversation of ooh la las heralded the arrival of an exquisitely dressed French lady.
Penelope Polo.
We presume.
She was wearing a daringly tailored pink linen suit with orange seaming.
That's
wow, that is daring.
Gaudy AF.
Belinda immediately recognised her to be Penelope Polo, worldwide head of purchasing for 5-car hypermarkets.
Important.
Yeah, jokes aside, quite an important woman.
They kissed in French fashion.
Tongues?
Is that...
I don't know what that means. Oh, yeah.
One on each cheek, or is it three?
I think it's two in France, yeah.
Two.
Well, French kissing traditionally is necking, yeah. Mm.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that.
They kissed in French fashion, and Belinda ordered a French martini for Penelope.
And some French fries, and...
That's like, what could be a French drink?
Have you got any French fancies?
Do you have any French dressing?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They sat at the bar and chatted about horses, jumping, and the steady progress of Penelope's daughter.
If we remember correctly, it wasn't exactly steady progress, was it?
It was neither steady nor progress.
No. She got some award for, like...
Best effort.
Best effort, yeah. Which was quite a slap in the face, if I recall. Didn't she come 8th out of 9 or something?
Now, Belinda, I need just 5 minutes of your ear before the show to talk about our business opportunity.
5 minutes? Oh, God, she's not going to breastfeed her, is she?
Said Penelope. Show? Stammered Belinda. Please tell me we're catching a play at the Moulin Rouge.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Or maybe we're seeing an exhibition at the Louvre. Or maybe we're going to the Seine.
I have always longed to go and watch the Nicholas Dancing Horse.
You gotta love those dancing whores.
So have I, to be fair. Ever since I saw that film...
Do you really want to go?
I've always wanted to go.
Oh, you
to
love
Moulin
that
Rouge.
Movie, don't you?
I do love the film.
So what is the actual place like?
It's tiny. I was there for I wasn't at the Moulin Rouge, but I was in Montmartre for my birthday. And it's honestly so small. I've never seen it before.
The Moulin.
Well, the windmill's small. I guess maybe the place is a bit bigger.
Have you been in?
No.
But what does it operate as? Surely not
it's still kind of like a sexy
parlour.
Like a burlesque thing, I think.
Yeah.
Penelope Polo spat some of her very French martini into her glass.
It's getting Frencher by the minute.
No, you simple bitch.
Oh. Oh, wow. I feel like they've met their match manners-wise.
Someone's got Belinda's number for sure.
No, you simple bitch. It is all about la moulin marron.
The maroon windmill.
Windmill.
The brown windmill, gawped Belinda's perfect translation.
Sounds like a... toilet.
A pissoir.
So Penelope's saying, you're a stupid tourist, this is where you want to be.
Right, exactly. Okay. Exactly. The brown windmill. Yes, it was true. She'd never heard of it.
Because it doesn't exist.
Off the beaten track.
So far off the beaten track, it's not even in Paris.
It might be in the banlieue, the suburbs, guys, the suburbs.
Now, the quality of the oxybrillo is good, no? Jim Thompson is the darling, and my people want to work with him. But
where's this woman from?
Is it Penelope Polo?
It's spelt with once spelt with a V. There's nothing I can do.
Want to work? Maybe she's from. Is she? I mean, which side of France? Maybe
the more Austro-Hungary side.
Jim Thompson is the darling, and my people want to work with him. But can you help us with some store merchandising, as you have absolutely no past record with us. What I mean is marketing support. You pay us to get your pans in the hands of the housewife.
So, Steels provides the product.
Oh, James, I can't wait for this. Okay, go on, please, because I need this. Go on.
Steels provides the product to Car 5, Five Car,
yeah.
But have to pay their own marketing costs to get them sold. They'll get a prominent place within the store, but then have to pay their own marketing costs. Is that what it's saying?
Why are you bothering?
Because these are the bits that I think Rocky really thinks he's offering something.
This is the business tips.
Okay. So
I'm just trying to get my head around it and try.
Don't realise that businesses like Steels have to pay their own overheads in that department. Is that what we're supposed to learn?
There is no risk on the supermarket whatsoever.
Is true.
And as I'm, a chap reading this and, wanking away to it, that's definitely what I want to be thinking about when I'm thinking, Penelope Polle sounds like a very sexy character. Oh, sorry, they have to provide their own budget for the marketing within the supermarket.
Alice, I'm sure many businessmen would be very turned on by that.
Yes, maybe, yeah.
Penelope, it's so refreshing to meet someone who asks for what they want and why.
Oh, just get to the brown fucking windmill. What is this?
Of course we can assist. I can authorise 10% support here and now. Have we a deal? I can see the perfect clothes that you are offering me, okay? It is good enough to start a relationship, but we will...
Where's Jamie gone?
Keep negotiating.
He really has disappeared into the role.
But we will keep negotiating, okay?
She drives a hard bargain, doesn't she, Polly? Mm.
Belinda downed her cocktail in one.
Is hers just an English cocktail or is hers French?
Can we talk about how Jamie loves saying France?
Oh, finally.
What do you mean?
Well, you're from the north of England.
Yes.
Manchester,
yeah.
So by rights, you should say, like me and James, France.
No, the thing is, right, I used to talk a bit like that when I was a kid, but now I don't anymore.
No, I realise that, but why do you now say, when France. We go to France?
Because I just think, I don't know, I've been in London for a long time. Most of my friends are from the south.
Yeah.
It's pronounced London. You've made yourself talk posh.
You have, yeah.
I have, yeah. It's an engineered accent, I'll admit that.
But all I would say is, when you engineered it...
But isn't it a good one, guys?
When you engineered it, there was a glitch in the system and it told you to say France. And that's not actually how southern people say France.
The thing is, I slip in and out of kind of long A's and stuff, but,
But just to say, nobody says France.
Do I say France?
You say in Germany, in Spain, in France.
I can't record this weekend, I'm off to France.
I think I am off to France this weekend. France, all right, fucking hell.
But I suppose the thing is, with France, maybe Rocky always wrote it France, so you had no chance.
He is very phonetic with his spelling of all the foreign characters, I'll give him that.
Love being in France.
I love France. France this time of year.
So France.
The newly minted business associates and blossoming best friends,
after 10 minutes talking about marketing,
took their seats in the privatised five-car corporate box of the Moulin Marron. And
oh, that's why she's pushing it, because they bloody own half of it. They're all going to be octogenarian burlesque dancers, aren't they?
It's going to be the down market. There's a reason it's called the Brown Windmill. Jamie used to have a coat that we called the Brown. I don't know if it started brown, but it was certainly brown by the end.
No, what? It was a brown coat.
It was rags.
It was nice.
It was rags.
It was once nice.
You used to sleep in it like it was a sleeping bag.
Fuck, what is this? Like, Attack Jamie week?
You once slept in a bush in it, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, you slept in that bush in it.
I didn't sleep in a bush with it because I actually lost my shirt on that night out. So I slept in the bush topless.
Don't you hate it when you lose your shirt on a night out?
See, that was one of the worst nights of my life. I slept in an out-of-season rhododendron bush in Park Lane.
Topless.
Anyway, it was this coat he'd had for 100 years? I can't remember.
It's been passed down through the generations.
It was an old coat.
There were holes in it. I was like, get a new coat.
I've got a particularly good picture of you in it. Because it was it, in my mind, it's made up of the pelt of different animals. But was it not?
It's mainly like old horse, I think.
There's a bit that's otter, though, because there's a bit that's longer haired.
Yeah, a bit of otter, a little bit of bear.
Oh, my. Okay, fine. I'm not known for my fashion, I'll give you that.
If you've ever seen the BBC adaptation, this is niche, but the BBC adaptation of Narnia.
Oh, my God.
It looked like
Mr.
Jamie.
Beaver.
Jamie was one of the beavers. Now, I'll just show you, James, because this really will bring it to life for you. So it's essentially what it was, wasn't it?
Oh, my God, it was. Didn't have a hood, but, like, in the body, that's
it was ever so warm, guys.
Whatever happened to it?
I binned it, because you literally gave me so... I got a real complex about it, actually.
Good.
You made me feel awful, so I did bin it.
Yeah,
that's the brown.
Anyway, we're in the Moulin Marron, please.
Should we have a moment's silence for the brown? To the brown.
To the brown.
I miss that awful coat. I don't.
The long-legged dancing girls were as stunning as at the neighbouring establishment beginning with the French word for red.
We can't mention it here for fear of litigation.
Even though we've just mentioned it earlier in the chapter, yes.
Is that stated because people say people at the brown windmill, not as attractive,
maybe,
not as leggy, not as maybe buxom, but please don't fall for that,
but
because
they are
just as good.
Absolutely just as stunning. So the long-legged dancing girls were as stunning as at the neighbouring establishment beginning with the French word for red, and the years-old choreography was timeless perfection.
Years old.
Years old.
The Charleston.
You know, Belinda, you can call me Pee-Pee.
I've literally never seen anything like this.
It's transformative, isn't it?
Madame, it's so nice of you to come all the way from France to see us.
Penelope is a bit formal, and right now it is what I truly am. Penelope pissed.
I mean, French people don't really say that, but yeah. Also, she's getting older by the second.
Honestly.
She's drifting from us.
She's getting pissed.
Come back to the light, Penelope.
So PP because of her initials.
Exactly.
Brilliant, brilliant. People call her PP.
That's what they call her. All of a sudden, every light, candle, and mobile phone went out in the
Moulin Marron. Oh, come on. Every phone? Are you fucking kidding me?
Every candle?
Well, candle's fine, but how are you switching off everybody's phone?
Like, everything's connected to a different thing, so how could they all go off in unison?
A ghost.
All of a sudden, every light, candle, and mobile phone went out in the Moulin Marron. It was as black as the skin of an aubergine.
So purple.
And no one could see a thing.
It's dark.
Aubergines, eggplants for the...
For the Yanks.
Yeah.
Then a spotlight, as hot as the dancing girls, swooshed upwards.
Oh, it swooshed.
This is like the start of Moulin Rouge, where Nicole Kidman sings Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. I bet you.
And does she come from the roof?
Yeah, on a... Like,
I feel like I've seen the picture,
swing.
Yeah.
The
any
French.
Resemblance to any other work is absolutely by coincidence.
What gets us around it legally? If we say it's a pastiche or if we say it's an homage, what gets
I think we can safely say that Dad's never seen it, so as that. From the roof, a huge ball made up of 1,001 balloons.
1,001?
It's like a children's party.
Tied together with licorice shoelaces, was lowered downwards.
This sounds dangerous. I mean, they've got absolutely no strength in them, a licorice shoelace.
The audience was silent.
Sorry, the ball is made up of the balloons.
Like, yeah, like I imagine it's like a net balloons. Of balloons.
Oh, I see.
The audience was silent, wondering what it could all mean.
Well, I'd be like, why the fuck's my phone not working? I want to take a picture of that.
Just as they were wondering what it all meant.
As they had been just a moment ago.
A chubby arm stuck itself out
of the ball.
From the bunch of balloons.
Chubby
oh
arm.
My God.
Whose chubby arm is it?
It was holding a very massive...
a very massive surprise.
And pointy carrot.
The fuck is going on?
Oh my God. I can't even laugh at it now because it scares me where his brain goes.
It's so weird. The meaty arm.
The meaty arm!
Quickly popped one of the balloons.
With the carrot?
With the carrot.
Yes.
And in doing so, revealed a bit of wobbly flesh to the whole Moulin Marron.
Who is this?
Who was this lovely squishy lady?
Could
be a guy. I'm presuming lady.
The audience applauded, and just as they did so, the arm popped another balloon, revealing a hunk of thick thigh.
We're going to be here a while because there's 1,001 of them.
Little bite-sized pieces of ham.
Ham!
Cheese.
What?
And baguette rained down on the congregation.
Hang on.
James, so they... it's your perfect night out.
Why did I not go to Moulin Rouge?
Raining ham. You just been like,
So they filled each balloon with ham.
Little bits of ham.
Cheese.
Bite-sized pieces.
They're lovely. Basically canapes, but deconstructed and then scattered from above.
By an extremely large woman, by all accounts.
Well, yes, yes. She's got, well, she definitely has a chubby arm and a chubby leg. I don't know how popping one balloon is revealing so much of her when she's in a ball made of 1,000, but still. Apparently popping one makes her entirely visible.
A little midnight crudité for the angry mob.
It's not really a crudité, sorry to interrupt, but it's not really a crudité.
What's a crudité? Yeah, crudité is like a vegetable you dip in.
A
like
raw
hummus.
Veg, yeah. So that's cheese, ham and bread, isn't it?
Spoke Penelope with the knowledge.
Famously not the knowledge. She spoke without the knowledge or the authority.
As more balloons were burst... more bits and bobs of food.
Oh, God, scraps.
Oh, there's a whole roast
chicken. Raining
from
the fucking roof.
Showered the watching men and lady more too.
Guys, this one's lamb chops.
Sorry. Men and lady more too. Who's lady more too?
Sorry. Showered the watching men and lady more too.
Who
is it? Spelt T-W-O. Like
Lady Moore 2.
Lady Moore 2.
Does that mean there's more ladies and men by 2?
Oh, maybe.
No, because it's T-R-O.
No,
yeah,
Moore 2. No, it's T-W-O.
Oh,
Moore 2. He's too distracted by the ham.
We lost him from that point on.
Does it say how much cheese there is?
So am I right in thinking that each time they burst a balloon, there's a different type of food? So they've just done the ham, cheese and bread one. Right. There's going to be one that's got, I imagine, like trifle.
Professor Rolls.
Professor Rolls. It's going to be one with gravy.
Steak tartare. I mean, you name it.
This one's eggs. Oof for all.
Some salad pericardine.
Oh, my God.
I know I'm a... big eater, but I wouldn't eat anything that was coming out of these balloons.
Oh, God, no. It's been sat forever.
But if you're really drunk, no. Like, that is such a welcome reprieve.
If it fell in my mouth, then I wouldn't...
you'd chomp a bit.
I wouldn't seek it out, but if it did fall in my mouth, I would masticate it.
You'd just eat it?
Yeah.
They guzzled their finger food, all the while whooping at the striptease above them. Eventually, the last balloon was popped.
I'm presuming that had like some little truffles or something in to yes, finish maybe, the meal.
Yeah. Some after eights.
Yeah, lovely.
Some carambar. French sweets.
Oh, we love get it. Them. You spend time in France. We get it.
French sweets.
Sorry, some French sweets.
Oh, there's just some sweets from France. Don't go on about it.
Eventually, the last balloon was popped and the most plump, roly-poly babe was revealed in all her glory.
That's a really luscious description, isn't it?
She was so big... she indeed resembled a balloon herself, thought Belinda, a bit meanly.
That is a bit mean, Belinda.
But she didn't mean it to be mean.
She didn't mean it to be mean, her thought.
No. In fact, Belinda had not blinked for the duration of the performance.
But she never does. There's nothing new there.
She'll get ham in her eye.
She was transfixed, mesmerised, awake. Pee-pee. Who the fuck is that yummy, scrummy, wrecking ball of a woman?
Jesus!
Not a compliment.
Why, she's the one, the only, Mistress Sweet Juice.
Mistress Sweet Juice.
That's going to come back to haunt us.
And she has requested a private audience.
Oh, let me fucking guess.
Bullshit.
Why? Why has Mistress Sweet Juice even heard of Belinda Blumenthal?
She hasn't.
Belinda blinked.
I just don't believe this.
And that is the end of the chapter.
Fucking hell.
So Belinda's about to have a roll around with the roly-poly woman.
Mistress Sweet Juice.
Mistress Sweet Juice.
Sweet Juice.
No, honestly, that's... I mean, it's going to be seconds into the next chapter before the Sweet Juice is coming out of the Sweet Juice. We know that.
Do you want to know what the next chapter's called?
I dread to think.
Do we think Mr. Sweet Juice could be like the special one or something? Because that's gone off the boil again.
Thank God. I think when Dad does plot, it gets really boring.
When Sweet Juice goes off the boil, though, it's really not nice.
Oh, God,
nice.
It gets very...
Heady.
Heady, very high.
Yeah, do you want to know what the next chapter is?
You keep trying to tempt us with that. I'd rather not. I'll be off. No, go on, tell me.
Clit talk.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Clit talk with Mistress Sweet Juice.
Not quite Jack and Ori, is it?
I can't think of anything worse.
James, have a word.
With who? Mistress Sweet Juice?
With somebody. You're the voice of reason in this whole thing.
The book's written. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah. So, interesting,
clit
though.
Clit talk.
I think we got quite... Yeah. I think we got quite a lot of business in that chapter, though, didn't we?
Did anybody can?
I think the dancing girls, maybe, with...
The age-old timeless dance was the can-can.
Yeah, exquisite as it was.
Has he ever been to Paris? Has he ever been to France?
Yeah. We spent a lot of time in France as children.
So actually, we'll find a lot of cultural accuracy in there.
Like a full bush, exactly. Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, well...
I forgot she shaved her pubes at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
Do you not remember?
Nothing like starting a chapter with a sound effect.
I wouldn't blame anybody if they didn't come back,
no, absolutely.
But if you really want to, we'll be here next week.
We will.
Porno day. If you'd like to get in touch in the meantime, maybe you've shaved your bush at work and you have some interesting tips and tricks. That is mydadwroteaporno@gmail.com if you'd like to email us.
You can tweet us at dadwroteaporno and we're on Instagram as mydadwrota.
Yeah, if you'd like to send us any pictures of your shaven bush.
Which Instagram will immediately delete and probably ban you for life.
And we're on Facebook and you can join the mailing list at mydadwroteaporno.com.
And a big thanks to Acast for hosting this podcast. So until next week, a bientôt. Bonsoir.
Gross.
Oscar winning.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.